Hey there, Mini Weekend fans, and welcome to the 2024 NBA playoff preview. With me tonight is my esteemed colleague, Joey. Joey, I'll hand it over to you real quick. How are you doing tonight? And are you excited?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm very, very excited about this playoffs, actually.
I know. I was going over getting ready for my for the podcast tonight and everything. I was kind of taking a look at some of my predictions and like some of like the preseason stuff. And I have to say, I kind of surprised myself. I think there was it's stupid, and we'll get into the play-in tournament. But there's technically what 20 teams, 10 on each side, that make the playoffs now. Four of them, eight in total, that make the play-in tournament. But there was only one team. So I did a pretty good job with guessing the teams that made it in. Seeding was a little wiggy. There was one team out of all the 20 that didn't make it. So I got to say, I kind of surprised myself there, good sir.
What's the one team?
I just had the spreadsheet up. It was the Western Conference. I had the Oklahoma City Thunder as the 11th seed. And, man, did they – I don't want to speak for a lot of people, but I think I speak for a decent amount of NBA fans when I say I think some – Oklahoma City, I think, surprised a lot of people this year. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, Chet Holmgren being a rookie coming in and playing a lot better than you would expect a rookie.
Oh, for sure. Well, and I feel like – and obviously you have to give credit when credit's due, and I don't mean to disrespect this team at all. But obviously with – I mean, if I go back, I don't have everything from last year pulled up, but I'm pretty sure last year they were pretty much a lottery team. And with how young they were and the promise that they had with SGA, Chet – I know Chet didn't play a whole lot last year. But I think the team had a lot of promise, and I think even making that 10-11 seed this year would have been a step up for them. But to make it all the way in battle for a one seed, I'm floored, truthfully.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of compare it to the Timberwolves, too. Granted, we had, you know, kind of that more potential based on our team.
Mm-hmm, but yeah,
it's similar senses of no one really expected us to be a top three with battling the Nuggets with us in the Thunder.
No, for sure. And truthfully, looking at kind of what I wrote down, I had us tabbed for the fourth seed, and I thought we were going to be in kind of a pretty close match with the Sacramento Kings in that 4-5 game. So, why don't we start off with, you know, other than obviously, you know, it's the mini weekend, you know, we're big Minnesota sports fans. Outside of this series with the Phoenix Suns, what series – or just what in general is kind of getting you excited for the playoffs?
I mean, I know they're a 7 seed and all, but Nuggets-Lakers is interesting because, you know, they're not – Lakers haven't been that as good as they have been, but LeBron in playoffs going against arguably the best player in the league. And
that's a good point.
Knowing that, you know, if we beat the Suns, we have to play one of those two is – WSBS, but that honestly, I would have said the Heat playing the Celtics because the Heat play the Celtics good, but Jimmy Butler being out doesn't help.
They do, and truthfully, that kind of goes, you know, into the next segue too with the play-in tournament. Obviously, we're not 100% done. There's still one more game to be played until we have every matchup set in stone, but I think before we jump right into that, I would agree with you. I think one of the things, I can't remember if it was earlier today or yesterday that I was reading, but the LA Lakers, say what you want, because obviously they got bounced early last, or you know, they got bounced really easy in the conference finals last year, they got bounced 2 years ago pretty easily, but they're arguably, like, you look at wins, losses, and stuff like that, they're arguably the hottest, if not one of the hottest teams coming into the playoffs. So I think there is some truth there that that is a dangerous matchup. I actually heard Stephen A. Smith 2 or 3 days ago say there's a, like, the Lakers, not saying they are, but have a legitimate chance to beat them in the first round. And then he just pretty much went on to say, if they do, they're probably going to win the chip, because if you can beat a team like the Denver Nuggets in the first round, again, not saying it's going to happen, who can't you beat then, you know?
Yeah, and you have one of the greatest players of all time. You give him that momentum.
No, for sure.
But yeah, and, I feel like they're going to come – it's going to come down to D-Lo for them, because he's been hot lately. But, I mean, from experience of having him on a team, when he's cold, he's cold.
No, and no doubt. Sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just saying it's not very helpful.
Yeah, no, and truthfully, I think, you know, as I think you hit the nail right on the head there. I think that series is ultimately going to come down to, you know, these role players, you know, obviously, you know, the 1-2 punch any given game is AD LeBron or LeBron AD. But, you know, those 2, 3, 4, 5 options for the Lakers, I think is really going to make or break the series. Because, unfortunately, you look at that Denver team, Michael Porter Jr. is a walking bucket. Jamal Murray and Jokic are legitimately 1-2 punch, just like those two guys. Then you also got KCP, who's knocking down three-pointers and that kind of stuff. So they kind of have an established 1-2-3-4. And not to say that when D'Lo and Austin Reeves are feeling themselves, or when Hachimura is feeling themselves, not to say that they don't. But I think, to your point, I think, you know, is Austin Reeves going to get hot for them? Or if he's not going to get hot, are they going to get somebody else to go hot? Because I think, you know, you look at the playoffs, and again, you were completely right. AD and LeBron, you know, whether it's 20 or 40, I mean, they're going to give you a good game every single night, just because the playoffs are what they're groomed and bred for. It's ultimately going to come down to that. And yeah, I got to say, outside of that, other than the Boston series, I don't think there's not a single series going on that I'm not excited to watch. I'm appalled Miami was able to beat Chicago earlier. I didn't have just Miami.
What they do.
Well, and you know what? The funny thing is, they didn't have Jimmy Butler tonight. That's why I didn't give him a chance. I thought going into tonight, because the two games were Miami, Chicago, and New Orleans and Sacramento, and I thought, book it, Sacramento and Chicago are both winning, because in my mind I was like, there's no way Miami can win without Jimmy Butler, and there's no way, I just don't see it, especially with the experience the Sacramento Kings got last year. I just think there's no way this New Orleans team can beat Sacramento with no Zion Williamson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot he's not playing. Surprise, surprise.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. So one of the things I had, I don't know. I don't know why I lost my train of thought there. Before we go ahead and just jump straight into the playoffs, there was one thing I did want to ask you about. So obviously, you know, Minnesota fans, we've been paying a lot more attention of this team, you know, the last couple of years, you know, fair to say since COVID, because we've had some promising talent on the team and stuff like that. A lot of people talk about and attribute our, hey, you know, part of the reason, you know, we made it, you know, the play-in tournament. If you don't mind me asking, because I have my opinions on it, what is your overall opinion about the play-in tournament? Do you think it should keep going? Should we get rid of it? Kind of like overall thoughts, what do you think?
I actually like it. I think it's good for the league. You bring in more fan bases, give a chance. I mean, I know when whatever year that was, we won the play-in tournament with Patrick Beverley. That was electric.
Yeah, no so doubt.
The feeling of getting in, and I mean, because it wasn't even in last year when the Heat were 8 seed and made it to the finals, and they must have been in a play-in game, so anything could happen. I honestly like this. I like the setup. I think they should actually add that to like NHL playoffs too. I think it gives you it gives fans more of a reason to watch the end of the season if your team's not in it, per se.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. Well, and again, you bring up a good point too. You know, the more teams you can get into it, obviously, the more fun. You know, it kind of goes both ways. You know, the teams that are really top heavy, you kind of feel like, well, what the heck? You know, there's no exclusivity to it. But I think, I will say, I was pleasantly surprised by your response. I think you are on to something with that mindset of, hey, you know, unless you're a really bad team, why not have some fun at the end of the season and see what happens? Because like you said, I don't think we're going to see it a ton But every once in a while, you're going to see, you know, maybe a Chicago Bulls team or last year, like you said, the Miami Heat team that squeak in and then can actually make a legitimate run. You know, maybe they got, you know, hampered with injuries or something like that. But, yeah, that's an interesting take. It's an interesting take. I actually, I don't know if you, how surprised you are to maybe hear this. I'm the complete opposite. I think this is nothing more than a money grab by the NBA. And I think, I guess I kind of changed my stance a little bit today. I think one of two things need to happen. You either need to just get rid of the play-in tournament altogether, just 1 through 8, keep it simple, or if the NBA really is trying to do this money grab and, oh no, you know, we really want more teams in the playoffs, then do, hey, top 10 make the playoffs, and like this, like the NFL or something like that, top 10 make the playoffs and top 2 teams get a bye, 3, and then what would that be, 3 through 10, play a best of 3 series, and then that's the playoffs. I think this is coming from a Minnesota sports fan. I think it's a little an unpopular opinion, because I think a lot of people would say, well, the Timberwolves, like you said, the Timberwolves have benefited from, you know, the tournament. If it weren't for the tournament, we wouldn't have made the playoffs the last 2 years. And I actually looked it up. I can't remember what year was each, but one of the last 2 years, we were the 8th seed. And one of the last 2 years, we were the 7th seed. So if there was no play-in tournaments, we still would have made the playoffs. We still wouldn't have gotten a favorable matchup. We would have had to play the best or the second best team in the conference. But we would have made the tournament. So for people saying, oh, you know, we only benefited from that, I think it's, yeah. And I get the, because you know when this started, right? It was the COVID year.
Yeah.
And the whole mindset was, hey, you know, we had to shut down the season. And part of it was how close teams were at the end. Part of it was the league took a look at the standings and was like, crap, we have so many teams that are kind of log jammed at the end. We weren't able to play a full season. Let's see what shakes out. But guess what? COVID is not a thing. I shouldn't say that, you know, for those people that might be listening. COVID still is a thing. But the reality is we've learned to live with it. And it's not affecting us like we thought it might have 5 years ago when we started this thing. So yeah, that's my hot take on the play-in. I think
that's a good take. I think it that makes sense. I would like that, you know, the first or second seeds getting byes, because then it gives you another reason to keep playing out at the end of the year. Kind of like how us Nuggets and Thunder had to keep playing. You know, it wasn't like the Celtics; you weren't set in at a certain seed yet. You had to keep playing, and that would make it a lot of. Even more interesting, because then you do have the more fan bases, but then also in the playoff, it's not just the one and done.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, and yeah, and like I said too, I'm probably more in favor of just get it back to 1 through 8 than I am making it 10 teams. I think, you know, as a basketball fan, I think, you know, making this, I think the easiest way to describe it, like, you look at the NBA season and the NHL season, as much as I love them, the seasons are very long, right? Mm-hmm. So in my mind, it's like, listen, COVID was a thing. It already happened, you know, that COVID season where everything was kind of weird and kind of got paused and everything like that. The bottom line is this, where, like, everybody's still playing the 82 games. Like, everybody's ranked 1 through 7. There's tiebreakers in there for a reason. I don't know. Like I said, I think it's probably an unpopular opinion, but at the same time, it's like, if you look online, these playing games, that's why I said playing games, they're technically not considered playoffs. So the stats and stuff that you get in here don't count towards your playoff stats, which is interesting, because after you look into that and realize that, you kind of think like, what are we really doing here?
Yeah. Maybe we have maybe a Timberwolf has the most points in playoff game history.
So why don't we kind of get into that? So I know one of the things we talked about yesterday, kind of getting ready for the podcast. this matchup we have with the Suns was one of those matchups that I knew was a possibility. I didn't really want to think about it, talk about it, imagine it, because I didn't think it was possible. But at the end of the day, with the fact that we played them the last game of the season, and the two teams, the Nuggets and the freaking Thunder, had to play. Yeah, as much as I maybe didn't want to admit it, I think in the back of my mind I was like, okay, this is a possibility. And yeah, it's frankly as tough as it is, I mean, looking at these teams, this was probably the one team I didn't want to play. Like, even if something catastrophic happened and we ended up playing Oklahoma City Thunder or the Denver Nuggets in the first round, I would have been more okay with that, because we've gone into Oklahoma City and Denver this year and beaten those teams. So yeah, with that, what were kind of your first thoughts on this series? What do you see as being a key parts to us potentially winning, and how, like, what's your comfort level going into this for the Timberwolves?
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard the Suns, I thought, oh, fuck, KD, here we go. But I've calmed down a little bit, you know, with Cat coming back. I think, and this just might be the Minnesota bias, I think Cat's going to be our most important player throughout playoffs, no matter how far we go, how short it is.
Yeah.
I think no, how and he's playing is really going to be it.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I want you to keep going, but Ant even said that. He essentially was like, look, I made the jump I did this year. Teams are going to be looking to, you know, double me. Teams know what Rudy's capable of. It's been a while for Cat. You know, if he can be that X factor, you know, there's no telling how far we can go.
Which is, I mean, just awesome from clearly a mega superstar for him to come out and say that, and shows how humble he is.
No kidding. But
yeah, I mean, I agree. They're probably going to double him up. I really think if we play defense like we have, it's seven-game series. That's suffocating defense to play against. And I think we have – I mean, our bench players, our role players, Mike Conley is elite. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't have to say much about Naz Reid. That's all you have to say. But right. Then you have Na coming in. You have McLaughlin. I mean – they're all good offensively, but their defense is what makes this team the best. And it's on the back of Rudy and Jaden, and that'll be the biggest key. Although I do respect KD. I saw he had an interview today where he was called Gobert a Hall of Fame defensive player. And I feel like he's the first ever player outside of Rudy's teammates to call him that.
Yeah, no, that's true. It definitely sounds like there are a lot of players out there, not necessarily discrediting Rudy, but essentially saying, look, there's a guy of this talent, of caliber defense, that shows up every single year. Like, why are we pretending like we've never seen this before, for lack of better words?
He loves it, too. He loves playing defense.
He does. It's hard to find down there. It is, and truthfully, one of the things I was thinking about, too, like, it'll be interesting to see how Chris Finch has him adapt to that, because Phoenix isn't typically a drive team. They're a team that wants to shoot mid-range jumpers, because that's where Booker and KD thrive. They don't really – and I don't know why. They don't typically drive the ball a lot. They're looking for outside shots. So a lot of what I've been reading is one of the big things for us is to kind of scare them off the line and make them drive. Because if they don't, not that Rudy's not agile, but he's not super quick. So if he's got to go out and contest shots and then kind of get back, it could make things interesting. So if we can
has been pretty good perimeter wise this year, though, which he stepped up. So
yeah. But. Well, and one of the things you kind of talked about this too, or brought this up, just kind of going from, oh my gosh, this is kind of nerve-wracking, like, why do we have to play in the first round, to, okay, you know, it's probably not going to be that bad. I have mad respect for Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is a solid number three option. Obviously, when you have the likes of Devin Booker, who's 27, mind you, and Kevin Durant's 35, they're on any given night 1-2. the thing I will say about Bradley Beal, as good as he is, he's proven since he's kind of gotten out of his prime these last couple of years to kind of be streaky. One of the things I remember talking to you and telling you about in that final game that seemed like a blowout, Bradley Beal was essentially the reason they went one. He went a perfect 6 for 6 from 3-point range, finishing with 24 points. And I think we lost by 18 points. So if Bradley Beal wasn't that hot, it would have been a closer game, whether we won or lost. It would have been a closer game, and people wouldn't have been, oh my gosh, what's going on with the Timberwolves? And it's like, on any given night, somebody can get hot. Bradley Beal got hot.
That's a really good point, because I think that's what's really going to decide the series, is what team is getting hot at the right time. Because Bradley Beal can do that, but then Kat Conley can get hot from three. And obviously, you know, KD and Booker, but whatever.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, again, you know, one of the things, you know, growing up watching basketball and even watching it as an adult, and even with March Madness too, like, the reality is, basketball is a game of runs. Like, I'll watch basketball with some of my friends who enjoy sports but probably aren't as into basketball and know about it as much, and they're like, and sometimes people ask me, they're like, how is this fun for you? Like, one team will go on a run and then another team goes on a run, and it's like, that's what basketball is. Yep. Like, that's what makes it so much fun. Like, is it going to be really streaky? Is it going to be a back and forth game? Like, what kind of game are you going to get? Because at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I only watch, you know, the last, you know, two quarters basketball. And there's something to be said that, you know, that's when, you know, the decisions happen. But there are things that, you know, at the end of the game, when these guys got to live with the outcomes, there are things that they're like, gosh, you know, yeah, you know, we lost because I didn't make that last second shot. But there are things we didn't do that we could have done in the first and second quarters that would have put us in a position not to have to be in that position too. So it really makes you look at basketball in, you know, a broader scale too.
Yeah. No, 100%. It's very momentum driven.
So, yeah, why don't we do this? So, I take it you got your predictions in front of you here, and everything.
Not greatly confident in them, but I got them.
Well, hey, part of – I've always said this. Part of predictions is sticking by them and not being afraid to be bold. So, yeah, let's just go down. Obviously, we don't know who Oklahoma City is going to take on, but just kind of going from that, you know, down OKC. There – who. OKC.
Yeah.
And truthfully, I was going to say, as much as it pains me to admit, I got Oklahoma City winning that one too. I had a feeling if Oklahoma City was going to go up against a Lakers team or a Golden State team or New Orleans with Zion Williamson, I think they would have been beat. And again, this isn't me trying to discredit the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're a very young team. Very rarely do you see a team that didn't even make the playoffs, that's young, make not only make the playoffs next year, but go deep into the playoffs. So it'll be an interesting series, because I really do think of the four teams that potentially got to play Oklahoma City, I think all four of them have the capabilities to play them tough and to make it a series, simply from the fact that similar to NHL playoffs, depth matters in the playoffs, and the Oklahoma City Thunder have a great front five. When they have to start going to their bench, that's where it kind of gets meh, because those guys are still young too. So yeah, that I think their matchup is being played right now. Yeah. First quarter, New Orleans is up 11-9. But yeah, with the news of Zion Williamson, if the Pelicans are able to hang on and win this, I could see that Oklahoma City series being pretty quick for the Thunder winning in, you know, four, you know, I'll give them five games. But if it's Sacramento, I think Sacramento could play them tough for six games.
Yeah, I got Thunder in six. But I agree. If it was Lakers or Warriors, I think it'd be a different thing. But I don't think OKC is gonna just. I don't think they're going to be killing every game by like 20 or anything, but I think they're going to five or six games. I mean, I have six, so I'm going to stick with six. Yeah.
No, I like that. So then, all right, who's next? Clippers and Dallas. Out of the two sides, I think this is one of the ones outside of the Minnesota series that I'm looking forward to the most. Who do you like in this, and what do you think is going to be the it factor for deciding who wins this one?
I got the Mavericks in seven. I love Luka, and I've always loved Kyrie on the court. I got it in seven. I forget if Kawhi is supposed to play or not. That's part of why I put it at seven if he's going to play. I think the biggest X factor is going to be Kyrie.
Okay.
Like people kind of forget how good Kyrie is until this year when he started playing fully again. And, yeah, he's unbelievable.
No, his handles are unreal. He's crazy. I got to say, I think it was just announced. I think it was maybe later last night or early this morning that there was uncertainty whether Kawhi Leonard was going to play in the series. And my initial thought when seeing these matchups, I was like, man, as much as I love, like you said, as much as I love Luka, as much as I love Kyrie, how can you bet against a team that's got Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, James Harden, and then Russell Westbrook coming off the bench? But then I kind of remembered, James Harden is why. Well, yeah. And I was going to say, you know, talent aside, he's a bit of a diva and he's not, you know, he's great talent wise, but he doesn't thrive well when you're trying to play anything that's not ISO ball. But I'm just like, gosh, you know, those four guys, like how was Dallas going to keep up with that? And then I was like, the Lakers could legitimately win the whole thing this year. And now they're talking about Kawhi not playing, or if he's playing, he's not going to be 100%. And I think I would have to agree with you. That's what I got. I got Dallas in seven. I think the fact that Kawhi is going to be the X factor for me in this series. I think if he's able to play, and if he's able to play or if he's not playing, what his status is, that's going to make or break the series. Because if you got a healthy Kawhi, you got a healthy James Harden, a healthy – like, they got four guys that have proven themselves in the league and in the playoffs. I just think that's too much firepower. But ultimately, I'm banking on the fact that Kawhi's not going to be as available as much, and I got Dallas in seven as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's very true. I think Luka's just a dog. He's a dog. He doesn't look like he should be as good as he is, but he is.
No, and he's exactly. And honestly, he's only getting better. So
it's insane. It really is.
He's only getting better. So no kidding. All right, what series you got for us next out of the next two in the Western Conference?
From those two?
Yeah.
I have the Mavs in seven.
Over Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think the young team playing against more experienced in playoffs for sure, Luka and Kyrie. Obviously, Kyrie having won one. But I think their top-end talent is too much for the Thunder to handle.
Yeah, no, I was going to say 100%. I was going to say it's really unfortunate for the Oklahoma City Thunder, because I think if they're able to get out of that first round series, they got to go up against either a really good Clippers team or a really good Dallas team, who not only are they really good, but they're veteran teams and have a lot of playoff experience, and I think are just going to bully you. So I was actually going to say, regardless of who the Clippers or Dallas, Oklahoma City, I got them losing in five.
Right. I think
their inexperience in the playoff is going to hinder them, which, again, it's not a bad thing. We've seen, look back to LeBron's first time in the NBA Finals. He virtually brought a team that had no business being in the NBA Finals in there. He was the only one on the team pretty much that could do anything, and he got a little bit exposed. I don't know if I should say exposed. That's maybe not the right word to say. But he went up against a powerhouse. Like, he can't guard Tim Duncan, Paul. He can't guard Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker all at the same time. And nobody else on his team could defend any of those guys. So,
yeah. No, I don't hate that prediction at all. I think it will – that will base a little bit on if – because if I mean, having the Clippers-Mavericks seven games, though, there's a chance those teams could beat each other up enough where Thunder not playing any, like, big, strong teams that maybe they have a chance throughout that. But I'm sticking with Mavs.
Yeah, and I could maybe see that with the Clippers just because the Clippers stars are probably a little on the older side. It's, I think if they get Dallas, Kyrie, yeah, he's a little bit older, but he looks just as young as Luka out there, and Luka is young. So, yeah, I think Dallas, no, Dallas will make mincemeat out of them. So,
yep.
All right, and then what one you want to do next? Do you want to do Denver and LA, or us and the Suns? You take over the rest of this Western Conference.
Let's just go with Wolves Suns. I don't want to say homerish, but I have the Wolves in seven. I think what we were saying earlier about kind of the X factors being, you know, Cat, maybe Bradley Beal, but I think. I'm picking this based on our defense suffocating them. I think we could win in more than seven if we get the first two at home. But I think if we're going to win against the Suns, seven is our best bet.
Yeah, no. Well, and when, I mean, that's just the thing too. I mean, you look at, you know, the playoffs. I mean, you know, and two guys that, you know, love basketball and love, hockey, you know, how often do we say, you know, if you're fortunate to have home court or home ice advantage, all you have to do is worry about defending home court, and that's all you really need to do. And Minnesota, if you go on to the to ESPN.com, there's only three teams that have better records at home than us. Boston, who's in the other conference, and we beat them at home. Denver, who we beat Denver in Denver this year, and Oklahoma City, who we've beat, in Oklahoma City too. So, I hear you 100%. I think as long as we win at home and don't put ourselves in a position to need to grab games on the road and put ourselves in, you know, just predicaments, I think my biggest hesitation is, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot. I look at last year, and Anthony Edwards is obviously a different player this year than he was last year. But there were just so many self-inflicted wounds in that Memphis series to the point where I told my brother and my dad, I said, we are the better team, even though we're the seventh seed. And we should have won that series. And the only reason we didn't was because of ourselves, really, ultimately. So. Yeah. No, it stunk. So, yeah, I think – I mean, you know how it is being a Minnesota fan. I think it kind of depends on if you're asking my heart or my gut. I think my gut is just like you. I think my gut says Wolves in seven. My heart says – I mean, if we play like we have for – like we did before Cat went out, we could win that in five or six games.
Yeah.
And make it seem like an easier series than it really is.
Yeah, but that would be awesome.
I mean,
this team's just been too fun and exciting to watch this year to go out one. I just can't see them letting that happen.
No, I think, and truthfully, I think it's not necessarily a hot take. I think you look at the rosters, I think we are the better team. I think it's a matter of, again, no self-inflicting wounds, and I think it's a matter of we'll win the series. It's just a matter of how many games. Is it going to be five? Is it going to be seven? Will it be six? Who knows? But yeah, once again, this year, I firmly do believe we are the better team over Phoenix. We were healthier, and we played better, more consistently throughout the year. And like I said, 9.5 times out of 10, in the NBA, the better team always wins.
Yep.
All right, so wrap us up. LA, Denver, hit me with it. What do you got going down in that series?
So I do think LA is a good matchup for the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Nuggets in six. Jokic is too good. Jamal Murray being fully healthy again, and then like you were saying, walking bucket, Michael Gordon, or Michael Porter, and then obviously Aaron Gordon too, who's.
Mm-hmm.
Revamped his career last year playing with him. Jokic is too good. I just don't think the Lakers have enough beyond the AD and LeBron. Obviously, they have good other players, but not as top end as the Nuggets.
No, no doubt. And truthfully, this is one of those series I would love to see the LA Lakers beat the Denver Nuggets, because as much as it pains me to say, because you know I'm a huge LeBron fan, I think we match up better, and I would not be worried or afraid of a series with the Lakers. I think we would make that look pretty easy. But yeah, no, I have to agree with you. I think the Lakers will show more fight. I think they're going to make this series, because I could very well be wrong. I think the Lakers, honestly, hot take, I think they have a legitimate chance to beat Denver. Heart over gut. I think my gut just tells me Denver is the better team. And again, nine and a half times out of ten, the better team wins. I think it goes the distance, and I think every seven game is going to be close. I think the LA Lakers will show that last year the four-game sweep was meh. But yeah. I'm right there with you. So
I agree with that too, because I had them at five originally, and then I thought about it. I was like, they got swept last year. LeBron is not – he's making it a series this year for sure. So
no. And if there's and that's why I really do believe they have a legitimate chance too. I think there's two teams you don't want to – if you're the favorite, there's two teams you don't want to go up to in the playoffs in the first round. One, a hot team, which the Lakers are. They're, like mm-hmm. I said, they're one of the hotter teams coming into the playoffs. And or a team that's looking for revenge. And they happen to be doing two. They're a hot team coming into the playoffs, even though they're a low seed. And they're looking for revenge. Like, this is one of those series that if Denver takes the series too lightly, the Lakers could see you later. Bye.
Oh, yeah. But, and they just happen to have, you know, the little guy named LeBron James on their team too. So.
And see, that's my thing too. I mean, you look at, you know, the Phoenix and the Lakers, and as long as KD and as long as LeBron James are in the league and on your team, say what you want. I know they've had these first round exits, you know, these last couple of years because they are getting older. It's hard to bet against them. It just is. And right when you think it's okay to, they show you, nope, this is why you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, I agree.
All right, Denver and Minnesota to go to the Western Conference Finals. How do you see that going down?
So, like I was saying with the Lakers, I think they're a good matchup for the Nuggets. I think we are – or not for the Nuggets, against them. I think we're the nightmare matchup for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
I think we're the one team that will, if not beat them, put up the biggest fight. And, every game this year has been – almost like a masterpiece of basketball. I got the Wolves in seven. I think it's going to be an absolute dogfight every game. It's going to be a hell of a series. But I think our defense, with having Kat, having Rudy guarding up on Jokic, you take him a little bit away, and then their team, I don't want to say crumbles after that, because it definitely doesn't crumble, but it loses a little bit if Jokic isn't playing amazing.
No, it doesn't. As good as Jamal Murray and as good as those other, you know, outside shooters are, they play well because Jokic, like, the offense goes through Jokic. Jokic kind of makes everything kind of happen. So if Jokic isn't having his game, which isn't very often, might I add, there's – not a lot of these guys are able to create off the dribble. So they need those passes, you know, to get up in their sweet spots and stuff like that. So it should be an interesting series. I thought for sure you were going to have Denver over us. I have us over Denver too. I got us meeting the Mavs in the Western Conference Finals.
Wow, look at that. Great minds think alike.
Gosh, well, and it's just it's tricky for me talking about previews and predictions with Minnesota being such a high team on in the standings, because my mind is like, or my heart is like, well, this team is good. This team is good enough to win a chip this year. But then my gut is like, well, wait a minute, timeout. Very similar to the Oklahoma City Thunder. It is very hard to be a borderline playoff team to winning a championship. So it's like, as good as this team is, they've got to bow out at some point, because they've got to kind of have that deep run, but not close enough, and then kind of get that hump to get there. So I kind of went back and forth, because my first predictions and everything, once everything came out, I actually had Denver in six over us. But
I mean, I could definitely still see that, but I think I'm calling that series as, I don't want to say coming out party, but the start of Ant in playoff mode. And I think that's where he's going to, you know, the Nuggets, the best player in the NBA, he's going to take that personal. And he's going to, I mean, even last year, he was playing phenomenal against them in playoffs. So I think that's going to be a series.
No doubt. And I think all this team really needs, all Ant and these guys really need, is to win a playoff series. And then I think you kind of become a destination, you know, for some of the Paul Georges and, you know, some of these guys, you know, maybe coming down in their career saying, okay, you know, they got something going on there. So, you know, if they're looking to try to get a chip or something like that, if they want to be, you know, Russell Westbrook coming off the bench, who knows what could happen. All we need to do in my mind is beat the Suns, show that, hey, Ant is a real deal. We're really making something here. And people are going to want to come. I really do believe that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Before we get to the end, the NBA Finals, Eastern Conference, who do you like out of the Eastern Conference, and who's kind of maybe like a dark horse that you like?
I mean, obviously the Celtics are phenomenal. I like the Knicks this year. They're somewhat similar to the Thunder in the way where it feels like they're a little young. Sixers, I'm not worried about them. Embiid's not going to get the fouls like in playoffs like he does in regular season.
True.
I love the Bucks if Giannis comes back and plays. If not, then I'm not big on them. To be honest, have not watched many Magic or Pacers games this year. Magic, I didn't know they were good until I looked at the playoffs.
Actually, I lied. Two teams. I didn't have Orlando making the playoffs. I did not have them making the playoffs.
I forgot to say that when you said the one, because I was like, if he picked the Magic, that's insane, because I couldn't name a player on their team.
Yeah, no, I kind of did the same thing with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought, because Paolo, I think that he's got that dog in him too. I think he's going to be a good player. And I actually had him right on the outside looking in. I had Indiana as my 10 team and Orlando being that 11 team. And they were, I mean, pretty much the one team that really kind of surprised me in the Eastern Conference. And if I think that 4-5 matchup with them and the Cleveland Cavaliers – could be a coming out party for the Magic. I really do.
I'd like to see it. That'd be cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I don't know if you have any bold predictions for the playoffs, but now that we've kind of gotten over to the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't know if this is so much a bold prediction as it is kind of like a bold statement for the playoffs. I think it will be – Boston failing to make the NBA Finals will be a bigger deal than the Denver Nuggets not making the NBA Finals, and I'll tell you why. The Boston Celtics have been head and shoulders the best team in the Eastern Conference the entire year. Not to discredit the Eastern Conference, not to say, hey, Western Conference is dominant because the Wolves are in it and all that kind of stuff. But I think you look at the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference, there are a handful of teams in the Western Conference that have a legitimate chance to win the entire thing. I think anybody coming out of the Eastern Conference, then other than the Boston Celtics, the West wins. The Boston Celtics are the only team in the Eastern Conference for me that have a chance to beat a Western Conference team. And that's why I think it's a bigger deal if Boston doesn't make the NBA Finals than the Denver Nuggets not making the Finals, because I just think the competition level of teams that made it is just that much more potent in the West versus the East this year.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% correct on that. I mean, it definitely helps the Nuggets won it last year, so that's part of it where it wouldn't be, you know, that much on them. But, all year it's been Celtics, Jason Tatum, Porzingis, Jaylen Brown. Don't get me wrong, Tatum is unbelievable.
But no, exactly.
It's the Celtics, man. They, in recent years, I don't know. They are so good this year, though.
But it also.
But I agree with what you're saying, though. I really do.
Well, and it also makes you beg the question, because Boston made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They bowed out to the Heat, and then 2 years ago, they lost to the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. So it also, again, this is more of the preview podcast. We're not going to get, you know, down this huge wormhole, but very similar to the New England Patriots. It's like, at what point are you like, okay, we got to try something different here? I mean, if you're the Boston Celtics, and I don't know, tell me if I'm in the wrong here. If the Boston Celtics, anything short of an NBA championship this year, do you think about shaking things up? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you keep Tatum no matter what. I think
would
be like getting Jaylen Brown out and getting other players in. Who, I mean, Jaylen Brown's a great player, but I think he's the one on the team. It's like when you compare it to like the Maple Leafs in hockey, it's like you're not going to get rid of Austin Matthews. It's going to have to be the second, you know, second option.
No, exactly. It's like the Kobe and Shaq deal in LA. You want to keep both of them, but Kobe, you know, is the centerpiece of that offense. He, you know, Shaq, as great as he is second fiddle to Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, why don't we go down and tell me your four teams moving on in the Eastern Conference and kind of. Yeah, X factors.
So Celtics, Heat. As much as I love the Heat, they're probably like my Eastern Conference team, just because I bet on them last year and they made the finals. So
that's right. I forgot about that.
I've liked Jimmy Butler a lot. I got Celtics in six, I believe. I picked six. Obviously, Butler's out. The Heat. I mean, last year before, they've been the Celtics killer. And, you know, God forbid Butler comes back, that's going to change things, because they can beat him.
Yeah, no doubt. I think Jimmy Butler, it's cliche, but it's so true. I think Jimmy Butler is the X factor. I think any game that Jimmy Butler does not play in, I think the Miami Heat are just not the Miami Heat, or they're not the Boston Slayer team. Mm-hmm. They're not the Boston Slayer team. So how many games is he going to play in? Because if he's only playing in four games, you need those four games. If he's playing in, you know, six games, okay, you know, there's a legitimate case. Based off of what I've heard, it sounds like his case is the same as Zion's, where I think he got injured two nights ago. And I think it was
during the Hawks game.
And I think they said they were going to reevaluate him in 2 weeks. So by hearing that, I'm assuming he's not going to be playing the first couple games. And I think the Celtics are going to make it pretty easy and beat them in five, especially if Jimmy Butler is not there for the first two games to attempt to steal a game in Boston.
Yeah, I like that. Not letting the Celtics get away with the sweep there just because it's the Heat. I like that choice.
Well, because I think if the series goes five games, I think there's a chance Butler could come back. But anything other than that, I think it's going to be pretty simple for him there.
Yeah, so then we'll get Cavs, Magic. Like I was saying earlier, I don't know much about the Magic. I gave him some respect, though. I did up a game when you were after you were talking about them. But I got Cavs in six. I haven't watched much Cavs games this year, but I know they still got Donovan Mitchell, Garland, that guy with the afro, can't think of his name.
Oh, yeah, gosh. I always know his name when I'm watching him play and everything like that, but I always forget it. Jared Allen.
But yeah, I from watching them in the past, they've obviously it's not the Cavs when they had LeBron, but they've been good. So Cavs in six.
No, they haven't. You gotta give credit when credit's due. The Cavs have some things, and you know they were able to get some guys to sign with them, which is good. I have been watching a little bit more, which I kind of surprised myself, overall basketball and not just the Wolves. And I actually really like Orlando, like in five, from the soul that it kind of seemed Cleveland was kind of looking like they were going to be a solid two or three team in there, and it kind of looked like they limped into the playoffs. Versus Orlando. Orlando shot up from, I think, 8 or 9 to 5 in, like, the last 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks of the season. So, again, in my mind, I think you got a number four team that kind of limped into the playoffs going up against an Orlando team that, similar to the Lakers, are just hot. And I think the Cleveland Cavaliers could be left in an interesting situation this offseason as well.
I like that. I like that pick. I think that's the first one we're not the same on.
Yeah.
Good to get some variety.
No kidding.
So then we got Bucks, Pacers. Like I was saying earlier, it's weird because they're Wisconsin. I'm a fan of the Bucks. I like Giannis a lot. I got Bucks in seven. Also betting on my whole bracket on the East here is betting on Giannis to be playing.
Yeah, and I think the East is maybe where we have a little more disconnect. I think whoever, you know, Philadelphia was able to get Joel Embiid back. I get, you know, playoff basketball is a little bit more physical. Exactly. And I get, you know, Minnesota fans were not a huge Philadelphia fans because of, you know, the Eagles and all that kind of stuff, but I think Boston, New York, Milwaukee, I think all three of them were dreading this matchup with the Philadelphia 76ers. And truthfully, there's not a I think they would match up well with a three of those teams. You know, and New York still being a relatively new – or not new, but a young team and without Julius Randle, I actually got Philly beating – New York in this, and New York kind of maybe looking to make some moves this summer too. So it'll be an interesting second round in the Eastern Conference that I got going on.
I like that. Who'd you have for the Bucks one? Did you have Pacers?
Yeah, and then Milwaukee Milwaukee and Indiana. I actually got Milwaukee. Haliburton is a great player. Outside of him, I just don't think Indiana's got enough to go the distance with him. I think Haliburton and those young guys are able to win a game here or two, but I got Milwaukee beating Indiana in six in the first round. We're a little bit different here. I can respect Giannis. I think he's a great player. I will never be a Milwaukee Bucks fan. I could never be a fan of a Wisconsin team. I couldn't do it. Like, I can respect good players. And I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying.
No, I get that.
I'm like, I can respect greatness. Just like I can say, even when he was on the Packers, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. I just don't like him because he's not on my team. And he beats me. He beats my team a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. I got a friend who's a big Bucks fan.
God.
And he doesn't like brag when it's Packers stuff, so I
well, that's good. That's
and good. Giannis is just such an unbelievably likable guy.
No, he is. And that's the thing, too. When you have some of these stars that are likable, it's hard not to, like, it's some of those positions where it's like, gosh, it'd be a lot easier if you were just a dick so I could hate your team and hate you. But it's like, well, you're a decent dude. I guess I can respect you.
I put Steph Curry in that category, too. It's just like, everyone around you sucks, but you're just like the nicest person ever.
Seriously, he's doing like the LeBron thing too. They both like help a bunch of kids like get scholarships and stuff for college, and it's
insane. Just like a stick. He's a stick at golf too. It's like you can't be that good at two sports. He's probably just. I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete. So,
well, and the amount of time he has on his hands too in the off season, like he's working out or playing golf. That's about it.
God, that sounds like a life.
No kidding. So then, what's that? So then second round, that would be, you got Boston playing Cleveland. Yes. Yeah.
I think this one's an easier matchup. I think I got Celtics in five. I think they're not going to have trouble with this Eastern Conference semifinal. I read out the whole Eastern Conference part, but semifinal.
No, and I kind of agree with you. I kind of go back and forth against Boston because very much so Boston is another team where it's like, you know, what's my heart say or is my gut? My gut's obviously saying, you know, Boston's going to, at the bare minimum, make it all the way to the conference finals. But my heart's like, no, like, we can't do that. Like, we're Minnesota fans. but, yeah, I would have to agree. I think, you know, as good as the Magic are, I think it'll be – I'd have to agree with the five games. But I think the Magic are going to keep it a respectable series. I think they got some bigs and they got some players to make it tough on those guys. But, yes, just like what you said, I think ultimately the Celtics are the better team. And it shouldn't be that tough aside from the games maybe being a little closer. Plus, we need to forget. I think a lot of people forget this. Games where Boston doesn't have a big lead at the end don't usually go well for them. They're one thing they people are talking about them going into the playoffs is their late game mishaps. So unless they have a really big lead going into the last couple minutes, anybody can beat them. So that's why I think the Orlando Magic could make things interesting. But again, 9.5 times out of 10 in the NBA, the better team always wins. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we're back to the same.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and when you are trying to predict a team like the Celtics that are just head and shoulders so much better than everybody in their conference, it's hard to, I guess I'll bet against them.
Yeah. The NBA is a little bit more where it's like, sometimes a better team loses, but if you're short on cash and you're betting, take the favorite.
Well, and hockey and basketball are a little different. I've always said with Dan, my brother especially, like in the NBA you can rely more on your superstars because LeBron or, you know, Jason Tatum can have a bad game, but ultimately you have the best player in the series, so your chances of losing a game and still winning the series is greater. When you are playing hockey, you got outside of goalies, you got 18 skaters that got to make things happen. So, and that's the issue with the Torontos and with the Edmontons. They got one, maybe two solid lines, but after that, the guys are dog shit. So these guys that maybe don't have the star power that Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid are, but they have more parity through lines one and four, that's why they do well, because they got fresher legs in the playoffs, and that's what you need. You need depth.
Yeah. I mean, I think the NBA just having a higher cap definitely makes it more like that too. Where if the NHL had like that high of a cap, you would see the Rangers, the, you know, Bruins. They're both really good too right now, but always winning.
Right. So, all right, I got, and then in my second Eastern semis, I got Philly and the Bucks, and I gotta say, I think again, it's hard to make some of these predictions because you don't know what's gonna happen as far as injuries and everything is concerned. But I think with the uncertainty with Giannis, I think Philly is
Don't do
actually
it. Don't do
no, I
it.
and believe me, it pains me to have a Boston and a
I was
Philadelphia
gonna
team in
say,
the
oh.
finals, but I think, you know, again, you know, I always like to do my predictions like if I'm a betting man. And if I'm a betting man, if Giannis is not 100% and Embiid is back and playing at some capacity, I think this Philly team is just better, even though they still got Damian Lillard, which, again, props to Damian Lillard, but dude's getting old. He's
Yeah.
not even on the back nine. I think he's wrapping up on 16, 17, and 18.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say I got Philly. It'll be an interesting series, and I'll give them a couple games, but I got Philly winning in home at six over the Bucks in the Eastern Conference semis. I
Yeah,
think
I
your
don't hate
matchup
that,
looks
but
a little different though. You got, what would that be? You got New York and
Bucks.
Milwaukee. Okay.
Yeah, I got the Bucks in seven. I like the Knicks and their
Okay.
young team. But like I was saying earlier, if this is all basing on if Giannis plays, I think he's that much of a factor where he's won playoffs, he's gone, far and without winning. He knows what it takes, and I think Lillard, if he is on 16, 17, 18, he's going to be more wanting to win. He wants
Yeah.
to take it. And Bobby Portis, what else do you need?
No kidding. And truthfully, I kind of attribute that Miami Heat team that beat Milwaukee in the first round. I think Giannis took that a little bit to heart. I think going into that series that happened, I think Giannis was a pretty one-dimensional player. He was an athletic freak. He, you know, could score all these points. He wasn't, you know, super, let me pass the ball, let me, you know, block a bunch of shots. Let me, you know, do these intangible things other than rebound and, you know, get points. And the thing I think, if my memory serves me correct, the thing that Miami did well with that is they put bodies in front of him. And he made so many turnovers, and that's essentially why they lost that series. And I think since then he's been able to adapt, and okay, now he's a little bit more like that. So again, like you said, I think if you have, you know, a Giannis, KD, a LeBron type player that is playing at some capacity, I think you're right. I think it's hard to bet against them.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can almost put Giannis in that, not as much, but in that, like you were saying about LeBron, Kawhi, where it's like if he's on your team, you're always gonna have a chance.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right. Well, now we are into our final four. So why don't we bump back over here? I know it's kind of, I don't know why I did it this way. Whatever. We're having fun. It's a good time. We got going the final four teams. We got, I think both of us had Mavs and Wolves in the Western Conference.
Well, those are.
You want me to go first or you want to go first?
You go.
I hate to do it. I hate to do it, but I can't see this Wolves team go, as much as I love them and as much as I want to be wrong, I don't see them being that team. We're just not the Miami Heat. We're not a team that goes from being a barely making the playoff team to winning a championship. I think it's going to be another dogfight against Luka and Kyrie. I think, you know, the veteran leadership late in the playoffs is going to go against us. I got the Mavs beating us in six in the conference finals to go to the NBA finals. And I hope to God I'm wrong. I
I'm
hope to
kind of
God I'm
glad you
wrong.
say that because I hope to God I'm wrong too. I got the Mavs in seven. It's gonna be a dogfight. It seems like the perfect way. This is a prediction based on Minnesota sports. Get to the conference finals like the Vikings did, and then break our hearts. As much as I want them to win so bad, I think that Luka's gonna be too much for our team.
Well, and don't get me wrong. I don't think this is going to be, oh, chalk this up to all the failures. I think just by regardless of what happens in the playoffs, I think as long as this team is able to beat the Suns in the first round, this is a successful season, and whatever happens after that is okay, it happens. I think we need to get over that hump. I mean, I look back on, I was gonna bring this up too, I never did, made preseason predictions. I think I said at the beginning of the season, Timberwolves are gonna win a playoff series. So I think this isn't going to be a, oh, you know, losing the conference finals, you know, added to the thing. The reason people did that with the Vikings is because we had a great team, and the 2 years before that, we had a legitimate chance to win too. The last 2 years, this Wolves team didn't have a legitimate chance to win. So to be able to go from what we did last year to this year to win a series, I think it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just picturing it now, like they're up 3-2. We're going into Dallas, game six. We win, like, but you know, by a small margin. Game seven, oh, we just won, bring it back home, and our hearts get broken. I hate saying it, but it's the Minnesota way.
But and again, it's you
God, I
said it
hope I jinxed
right.
it.
You well no, but you said it right. You know, obviously you lose at home, it's heartbreaking. But in true appreciation for your team fashion, you wake up and within the next 2, 3 days, you realize, you know what? I obviously always want my team to win a championship, but this was a hell of a season for this team. Because I think if you ask a lot of people, you know, in a couple weeks, if our predictions are true and the Wolves find themselves in the conference finals, I think if you ask 100 NBA fans, general NBA fans, regardless of who their favorite fan base is, if you were to tell them at the beginning of the season, hey, will the Minnesota Timberwolves be in the conference finals? I think maybe one person would say yes. Maybe one.
Yeah, I mean it's like the Wild 21-22 season where they were just so fun to watch all year. It
And
sucked
then
when we
just.
lost, but then I look back at it now, I'm like, that year was so fun. That's what I'm gonna think of this Wolves year, unfortunately. God, I hope I'm wrong.
I hear you. I hear you. So, all right. Okay,
Want
so
me
we
to go
both got the
first for this
Mavs.
one?
Yeah, so then we both
All right.
got. Just trying to make sure I'm tracking here. So we both got
Oh yeah.
Mavs in the Western Conference Finals. Who do you have the Mavs playing in the NBA Finals coming out of the East?
Well, I can confidently say we're not going to have the same NBA Finals because I got the Bucks in seven. Again, what I've been saying, Giannis. If he's playing, he's the X factor in the series. I think it's going to be not an easy series, but you get the drama of the, you know, Jrue Holiday now on the Celtics. Did they traded him to get Lillard to get rid of a little bit of their defense and their scoring? And Lillard's going to have a series.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. That's wow, that's
And it's just like that matchup just brings like my heart full. That would be an unbelievable matchup.
yeah, no, and that's the thing about being, you know, not just a, you know, a Minnesota sports fan, but being, you know, a hockey fan, being a basketball fan, you know, you're able to enjoy other series and other games. 'Cause like you said, I mean, not that I don't like these teams, but I'm not super invested in, you know, the Cleveland, the Orlandos, but, you know, the Jalen Brunsons, the Green Mamba, you know, like you said, Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, Luka trying to solidify himself as one of the faces of the league. It's like you learn to appreciate good basketball regardless if it's your team you're watching. So, all right, you got, so what was that? You got Bucks and Mavs. I got Mavs and Celtics.
I was gonna,
I
either
got
way, that was going to
Mavs.
be a loss between those two teams, but I'll
No.
take the lesser of the two evils.
Yeah, no, and again, I think Yeah, and truthfully, again, one of those things where I'm like, I was looking at this, today, getting ready for the podcast, and even before calling you up to do it, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, shit, Celtics, Philly. Is there a reason? Is there a way they could both lose and they could just give the championship to Mavericks or?
I mean, it would be another beautiful, beautiful matchup, though. The hatred between those cities is so real.
Oh, it really is. And truthfully, I think I'm looking forward to more of that bickering back and forth than I am to actually watch those two teams, if that makes sense. But yeah, I hate to admit it, but Jason Tatum is a dog. Jaylen Brown, I think the Celtics actually have excuse me, some contracts and some salary cap stuff they kind of have to deal with this summer. But I think the Celtics are just too good. I think the Celtics are too good. They'll beat Philly. I think it'll be a close one. I think they'll beat him in seven, I said. And then they'll play the Mavs in the NBA Finals. And I th again, 9.5 times out of 10, at least in basketball, the better
Oh,
team wins. And
no.
unfortunately, the Celtics are just a better team. Whether it pains me, and I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. But again, I think the basketball fan in me, whenever I decide between two games or like a game and stuff like that, I'm like my mind always immediately goes to who is the better team. And so in all of these, I'm
No,
like,
it's
like I said, I'm like, well, the Celtics are a better team. And then I think, well, the Mavs may have more star power in Luka and Kyrie versus Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because I think Jaylen Brown isn't as good as he's great, but I think he's a not as good as people praise him up to be. But then you think about,
yeah.
like I said, better team. I think Boston, Jaylen Brown, and those guys do a great job of putting their other teammates in a position to be successful versus the role players on the Mavericks. So I got it being a good series. I think the but I think Boston will beat the Mavericks in 6 games to be the damn 2024 NBA champions.
Yeah. Well, I got the Bucks in seven over the Mavs.
Okay, gosh.
Giannis, he's gonna do it,
Dame's
and
finally gonna get that elusive
Dame gets
ring.
a he gets a ring and he
All
retires.
right.
I think that's how it goes.
Really?
I don't know. That would be sick, but
No, I no. Hey, one of
I
the
mean,
first things I've always told
yeah.
you about on this podcast, don't be afraid to be bold. You think he's gonna retire? I think that's bold.
I
I
just feel
like
like if he
it.
gets it, like he, I feel like he's, that's what he's still in the league for.
No, for
Like he
sure.
wanted one for Portland, but he couldn't do it. That's why he wanted to trade. He wants to get a ring and retire. I could really see it.
I know. I like it. I like it. And what a good way to go out. You are
Yeah.
loyal to your Portland team for years, for years, for years, for years, for years. You finally said, "I want to win a ring. I want to get out." The first and only year you're outside of Portland, you win a ring, you call it quits. Like,
Yeah, it's
what can
like
you
what
say?
Matt Stafford should have done after leaving Detroit. Like
Oh
the
my
Detroit fans
gosh.
were happy for him. I'm sure Portland fans would be pumped for him.
Ecstatic, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's yeah, I have to say, I'm not super overly surprised by either of our predictions. I'll be completely honest with you. Sometimes I'm afraid to be too bold. But like I said, it's harder for me to be bold with NBA than NHL because, like I said, I always go back to the 9.5 times out of 10, the better team wins. So, like, if the Minnesota Timberwolves aren't going to win the whole thing, I would love to see a Mavericks team win it. I would love to see a Lakers team win it and then maybe see LeBron retire. I would love to see, maybe the Clippers win it and then a couple of their guys
Honestly, like,
retire,
yeah, like, I wouldn't
kind of a
mind seeing
thing.
the Suns if the Suns beat us. I wouldn't mind seeing them win. Bradley Beal
No.
get a ring, Devin Booker, KD, gets one
But
without
it
Steph.
No, exactly. But at the same time, it's like, well, shit, you know, Denver's just too good. You know, some of the, you know, Boston's just too good. And I, like I said, mark my words, if Boston at any point loses in the Eastern Conference Finals, whoever makes it out of the West will win it. Boston is the only team that has a chance to beat the best team out of the West. Mark my words.
I mean, besides for me picking the Bucks, I kind of agree. I think I'm not like the most confident on my Bucks. It's all on Giannis. So,
Well,
but
and like
yeah,
I
no, I
said
kind of
too.
agree. I don't see any of the other teams like I the Knicks I would see losing to Nuggets, Lakers, us, OKC, Mavs, maybe Clippers and Suns. Well, I just named every team, but I don't see like even the Sixers, I don't see them matching up against. Yeah, I really don't. I think that's a good take.
No, and I mean, like I said, if you look up and down this, you know, the teams that make it, like, I'm not kidding. Out of the Western Conference, Denver, like, these teams I'm about to list off, there's a legitimate argument right now before the first round even gets underway. There's an argument that these following teams could win the entire thing before the playoffs even start. Denver, Minnesota, the Clippers, Dallas, Phoenix, and the Lakers. That's six teams. And then you go over to the Eastern Conference. And again, not trying to slight the Eastern Conference. It's just, you know, the Eastern Conference was just more lackadaisical this year because there were a little bit more injuries over in the Eastern Conference. But outside of Boston, you know, New York is without Julius Randle. He's like, it doesn't matter how far they go in the playoffs, he's out. Milwaukee, there's a lot of uncertainty, like we've been talking about with Giannis. And then
Fingers crossed.
as good as Cleveland and Orlando are, both of those teams, I think, are just too young to be able to get it done. And the next team I look at is Philadelphia, who Philadelphia, if you shut down Joel Embiid, which is hard to do, you will beat him. And when you have talent on a team like those six teams, you have the players to be able to shut down one guy and still, you know, come out on top. So
Yeah, no, I agree.
it'll be interesting nonetheless. And yes, I think you've heard it here first. You can hear and I think I speak for the both of us that we desperately want the Wolves to win it this year.
Yes.
I think as much as it pains me to say I don't have us winning this year, I don't think we're that far away. I think we have the things in place, and we have the coach and the stuff in place to potentially win next year or even in 26. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. And you know, like I've said, I don't, when I bet against our Minnesota teams, I always end with a disclaimer, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, me too. I really hope so.
'Cause like I can live with like, oh, if I'm betting, you know, if one of my locks in week three is, oh, you know, I got the Detroit Lions over the whoever the Atlanta Falcons, and the Atlanta Falcons win, I don't give a shit. I don't really give two shits about either of those teams. But if we're going, if like, I don't know, the Twins, God forbid, are going up against like, you know, the New York Yankees, I'm obviously gonna say, well, the Yankees are gonna win. And if the Yankees still win, I'm still like, well, shit, you know, fuck the Yankees.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, that's what we got for you guys tonight. Joey, it was a pleasure having you on. So yeah, before we get going for the night, any last words?
Nas Reed.
Nas Reed, man, I what most improved or sixth man of the year?
Sixth man. I think
I
it's
like
I'll chew in.
I like it. They're saying the only guy, I can't remember who he plays for right now, but they're saying the only guy that could possibly be get it over him is Malik Monk.
Oh,
But
yeah, for sure.
I can't remember who he plays for. So if he's on anybody that's not the Oklahoma City Thunder, Denver Nuggets, or the Boston Celtics, I don't think he should win it because I as much as it shouldn't be part of who wins these awards is how well your team did. Like, how often do they give the MVP of the league to a guy that's team finished in ninth place and didn't make the playoffs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. 100%.
So, no, I'm glad I asked for last remarks. That was a hell of a way to wrap up the podcast, my man. Hats off to you.
Ready to.
Hats off to you. Maybe you got to start taking the reins of the mini weekend over me. Well, yeah, like I said, needless to say, love to have you on. Thanks for coming on tonight. It was fun going through our predictions, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Until next time, Minnie.